Good morning. Good morning. As Ivana asked Keith to stand up, I turned to Troy and said, I'm so glad I'm not up there. That was cut close. So there are different places, different locations, different buildings that as a part of life, we have to visit. These aren't places like Disney World that, you know, you want to visit. These are places that through the course of life, because of life, you have to visit. Like school, you know, like school. You guys got an extra day off, but you had to go back to school this week. You have to go to school, or the dentist office. You know, you have to go to the dentist. Well, you don't have to, but eventually you have to. You know, and we feel different. We have different feelings for different places that we go, and we have these some places will stir up emotions in us that make us angry. So frustrated, happy, and different places. We feel different about going to the mall as compared to, say, the dentist. We feel different about that. We look forward to going shopping. Some of, you know, not me, but, you know, people look forward to going shopping if it's the mall. Some people don't. So it brings these different feelings. I'm going to put an image of a place up on the screen, and when I do this, I'm going to put three images, one at a time. And there's one right there. And what I'm going to ask you to do is go back to that first one. Is I want you to give me a word that comes to mind that typically people feel about coming. This one is the license branch. What's a word? Wait. Wait's the word. I heard wait quite a bit. You wait. Nobody likes to wait. You go in there and you sit, you take your number. How many of you guys have walked in and actually accidentally didn't check in and sat down? And then you're like, oh no. And you have to go back. How about this one? Dentist office. Dentist office. Ouch. I heard ouch. Speaking of ouch, let's take a closer look at what happens in the dentist office. I just wanted to get you to cringe just a little bit, you know, there. Ouch is the word. What about this one? What about this one? The grocery store. Ugh, I heard ugh, you know, ugh. Nobody likes to go to the grocery store. I keep telling Sarah, this Kroger click list is like a genius idea. It's amazing. You know, when I've done it, I go and pick it, you know, we go on youth events of the fall retreat or whatever. I put my order in, I pull up, I'm on my phone, they put it in the back, and I drive off. I mean, it's that easy. So I don't have to go to the grocery store like that. But these aren't rave reviews, right? These aren't rave reviews of these places, some worse than others. But in all three of them, you can see that we go to these places in most cases because we have to, not because we want to. We don't want to go to the dentist. If you want to go to the dentist, you might need to go see a counselor. But, you know, nobody wants to go to the license branch. Now, some people might say, I didn't hear anybody say, I love the dentist. I love the grocery store. I love the license branch. Now, maybe you guys have a different view of the license branch, right? Because it's a sign of freedom. You finally get that. But everybody, you know, that'll wear off. You're going to end up hating it. Now, some people might say, I love my dentist as compared to maybe another dentist. Or I love my grocery store as compared to another grocery store. But nobody is saying, I love the license branch. I love going to the dentist. I love all of this stuff. Now, I don't want you to say anything. I don't want the word, but I'm curious what people would say if we put this picture up on the screen. What's you know, in your mind, if you think about it honestly, what's your word? Do we think about church the same way we think about going to the grocery store? Same way we think about going to the license branch, something you have to do. Now obviously you don't have to come to church. But do we think about church as something that, as a part of life, that we have to do? Think about people who aren't here with us this morning. Maybe people who have been here in the past, but they're not here anymore. People maybe that aren't here because they've never been here. People maybe that never have come to church. Think about those people, and I would think that some of the reasons that they're not at church is because they have been to church, and their experience was a lot like maybe the license branch, or the dentist, or the grocery store. Yeah, nothing real exciting. I have to go. And based on their experiences, maybe they're not that far from the truth. But is that what God intended for the church? Is that what God intended for the church? Was that his idea about this community of people gathering together to worship? Is that his idea for what the church was designed to be? Because I believe that the Bible tells us that no, that never has been and never will be God's design for the church. I believe that God wants us to love the church. He wants us to love the church, not maybe not love the some things that maybe have happened in the past that hurt you, or maybe some things that you've seen on the news about churches. Maybe not that stuff, but he wants us to love the church. And that's what this series is all about. That's what this series, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be learning to be the community that God intended us to be. Maybe not what you've experienced in the past, but maybe we can get together into this service and we can understand what God is calling us to be and we can be better at it. Before we jump into this, I want to pray this morning. I want to pray with you. And I just want to pray that God would speak to us through his word. We're going to be turning to John chapter 13 here in just a moment. But I want to pray with you just real quick. God, we love you. And I love the song as Troy and the band they played earlier. We love your presence, and he's absolutely right. We cannot love the church if we don't love you. It's because of our relationship with you that we're a part of the church. And so we pray this morning as we get into your word that you would teach us, that you would speak to our hearts, and that you would show us exactly what the church was designed to be so that we could be better equipped to love it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, raise your hand. How many of you went to a class this morning? I'm not calling out those. That's awesome. That's awesome. We were so excited that we had such a great turnout. We're thankful that you guys got into that. But one of the verses, the verse that you kind of focused on this morning, was in John chapter 13, verses 34 and verse 35. It says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Key word out of that verse, love. Key phrase, love one another. This verse is kind of a prelude to the church that's going to be coming. The church will be established in the book of Acts a little bit later. But here we find Jesus meeting with his disciples, telling them how his followers are supposed to be known. How this community that he's designing, this church that he's putting in place, what their reputation should be. He's saying that they will be a people known for their love for each other. That we should be a people known for our love for each other. Church people are meant to love one another. We talked about this in our group this morning. One of the questions is, what was the key marker of that verse? What was he saying will be, what will the effect of that verse be about loving one another? And the answer is, that was kind of his identifier for us. People will know that we're Christians, that we're his disciples, if we love each other. And sometimes that's what turns people off when they come in the doors of the church, because they're not seeing a lot of love inside the church. But what does that mean? What do we mean to love one another? When we say we want to love the church, when we say we want to love the community of faith that we're in, as God intended it and as God intended us to be, what does that mean? Because love has lots of different meanings, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if anybody else is excited, but I love Mother Bear's pizza. Yeah, anybody else? I've seen a lot of Facebook posts, 2-hour wait, but I'm here, you know, that kind of thing. The new location. I love Mother Bear's pizza, and I think you can, my wife and I, we go and the kids get their own little thing, but she likes the veggie pizzas. I'm not a big veggie pizza fan. But I think you can eat just about any pizza at Mother Bear's, and it's amazing because of that crust. So I'm good with just about any pizza you put in front of me at Mother Bear's. But I love Mother Bear's pizza. I love a restaurant. You probably love a restaurant. You have one in mind when I say that. You have a restaurant in mind. You love a restaurant. Now, on another note, we have this 4-year-old little boy named Gannon. You all know Gannon. Most of you know Gannon. That was his first IU game. I'm telling you what, this kid, you take a 4-year-old to an IU game and they want to go by, you know, halfway through the first half. He wanted to stay till like they kicked us out of the building, you know, so got one. Yeah, right. But this 4-year-old little boy, he knows exactly how to melt your heart. He could have done the worst thing in the world Think of your own example. And we could be disciplining him and sending him to his room, and he knows how to work the heartstrings, and he'll stop, and he'll put his arms out. He says, I want a hug because I love you. This is it. This is his game that he plays. He's in trouble, okay? He's in trouble. But he'll stop. He says, I want a hug because I love you. That's tough to discipline a four-year-old when he's got his arms out saying, I love you. I do it, but it's hard, okay? It's hard to do that. Because I love my son. So what do we mean when we say we love the church? What does it mean to love one another? Does he want us to love one another like we love a restaurant? Or does he want us to love the church like I love my son? With the restaurant, I was experiencing a service, something that was, I wouldn't say given to me, it's quite expensive to go to Mother Pears, but something that you receive, a place offering me something. The restaurant fed me. It provided an experience, a moment that I could participate in, and if I liked it, I can go on Google, make a nice review of it. I could tell our friends, hey, go to Mother Bears, that's amazing. That's what it is to love a restaurant. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't give it a good review, and I wouldn't tell my friends to go. I'd tell my friends, hey, don't go there, it's horrible. But my son, with him, I'm experiencing an important relationship. My son's someone that I'm connected with. My son's someone that I care for. My love for him isn't based on an experience. It's not based on how well he does. It's not based on what I'm receiving or what I'm experiencing, but it's based on who he is. My love for Gannon is not like my love for a restaurant. Now, I love him, and I care for him, and because of that, I play with him. We go through life together. Now, sometimes he has those moments, and it's hard to go through life with a four-year-old sometimes, isn't it? But we do it. We do it because I'm not basing my relationship around an experience with him. I'm basing my relationship on a connection with him. I don't Google review my son, okay? I just love my son. The church was never meant to be like a restaurant. Church was never meant to be like a restaurant. It's meant to be based on relationships. That's one of the reasons when we first had the idea, when I remember the first time anybody talked about going down to one service. That was almost the driving force is, we almost have two different churches. And we want relationships. We want relationships to happen. And some people that come to early service may not know those who come to second service. And those in second service may not know those who go to early service. And that was one of the reasons that we talked about that, was we wanted to unify the church. Because the church was meant to be based on relationships. And that begins first and foremost with Jesus. As we sang the song, I love your presence. We can't love our church if we don't love Jesus. But through that relationship with Jesus, we're connected to one another. Now, Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. He brought us into this relationship with himself, and his death on the cross was an act of love for us. And Troy referenced it this morning, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, us, that he gave his only son, so that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. He intentionally loved us, and he intentionally served us. Because Jesus loves us. And when we're brought into that relationship with him, with Jesus, with God, we're not only brought into a relationship just with Jesus, but we're brought into a relationship with everyone in this room and everyone throughout the world who's in relationship with Jesus. That relationship with, I hear that all the time. I can be a Christian and not go to church. I don't see how. Because the church is meant to be loving one another. And you can't love each other if you're not with each other. Unfortunately, a lot of people treat the church like it's a restaurant. And I say that because if we don't like the lighting, if we don't like the song, if we don't like the preacher, watch it. Okay, it's me. If we don't like whatever it is that we're doing, if we don't like that, they don't do it the way they should do it. They don't do it the way they used to do it. They don't do it the way I think they should do it. Whatever. Then we can't love the church. That's a restaurant style line of thinking. And really, it's unfortunate because it sets up expectations for the church that the church was never meant to fulfill. The church is not a place providing a service. The church is a body of believers coming together, being together, loving each other. And also, and if we have to be honest here, is that this is a very self-focused relationship, isn't it? If it's not the way I like it, then I can go somewhere else, or I cannot go at all. This isn't loving as Jesus loved. This is loving as I see fit. This is loving as much as I'm comfortable with. This is loving for my own gain. And the church isn't supposed to be like that. That's not what the church was designed to be. I want you to hear this. If you will experience a love for the church, you will experience a love for the church when you intentionally love the church. Did you catch that? You will experience a love for the church when you intentionally love the church. You'll have this deep sense of love for the church when you actively and intentionally practice love for the church. And if that's true, the opposite has to be true, and that if you're not actively loving the church, you're not going to feel a love for the church. We love the church when it's about relationships, not when it's like a restaurant. So what does it look like to intentionally love the church? What does it look like to be in community with each other as God intended it to be, as God intended us to be, in community with each other? Well, that's what the rest of the series is about. And over the next 5 weeks, myself and Chad Babbert's going to be up here to preach for us again. We're going to be going through this, and that's what the series is about. So in your bulletin outlines, what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to give you a preview for the rest of the series. Each of the points that we're going to talk about this morning is an upcoming sermon that you're going to be listening to over the next few weeks. I want to give you an overview, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack them week by week by week on how do we intentionally love the church. So we're going to go through these pretty quickly. Numbers 1 through 4. Number 1, you love the church, you love by connecting. You love by connecting. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We love by connecting, being in community, being in fellowship, being in relationship with each other. It's more than just knowing where each other sit on a Sunday morning, or maybe that got jumbled this morning if your seat was taken, but it's more about that. It's more than that. It's more than just finding someone and knowing their name. It's more than knowing, that they sit in that seat. That's more than that. We love one another when we can stand alongside each other, when we can be connected with each other so that we can make sure that no one's standing alone. So we love by connecting. Number 2, we love by serving. 1 Corinthians tells us that there are different kinds of gifts. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes those gifts. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. God has given each of us these supernaturally empowered abilities. Not to say you're supernatural or anything like that, but God has given us these abilities. God has given us these abilities so that we can encourage each other, that we can help each other out in the church as well as outside the church. God has given us gifts, and we're going to talk about that. In fact, we're going to help you identify what your gifts are. Something that you're going to be getting in an email today or tomorrow is a link. And this link, if you guys remember back in the vision night that we had in September, several people said, you know, I'd like to be taught more about spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, I'd like to kind of know what my spiritual gift is. Well, in this link that we're going to be sending out to you, and if you're not on the email list, let us know, or we'll post it on Facebook as well, and we also have other, we'll be putting this in front of you for several weeks, so you shouldn't miss it. In this link, you will click it, you'll go to a website, you will register, and you'll get another link to go take kind of an assessment. You'll answer some questions. Through that, it'll give you right away here's what your gifts are. It, you know, based on these questions, and this has been researched, it's been studied, and this is a good system. These are your gifts. These are your gifts. And then on January 22nd, we're going to be talking about that. Chad Babbert's going to be here. He's going to be preaching about serving and what that means in the church and in the community. And hopefully by then, you will know what your gifts are because you've taken this assessment. And on January 22nd, on the evening of the 22nd, we're going to invite you back to church. And you're like, what? I'm going to come back on Sunday. I came once. But come back on Sunday night, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what spiritual gifts are. We're going to talk a little bit more about what your gifts are. We're going to talk a little bit more about how you can take the next step to utilizing that gift that God has given you here in this church, as well as in the community of Ellisville. So we have something neat for that planned, and we're going to ask you to answer those questions and find out what your superpowers, as some people call you, your God-given gifts are, so that you could use them to benefit those around you in this church and in the community. So we want to invite you back for that. So look in your email, look on Facebook. We have some paper copies. You're saying, I don't use email, I don't use Facebook. Matter of fact, I don't even use a phone most of the time. We have some paper copies at the welcome desk. You can just take it home, fill it out, bring it back to us, and we'll do all the rest of the work and get you the ideas. But you love by serving. You love by connecting. You love I forgot the second one. You love by serving. We're on the second one. You love by connecting. You love by serving. And you love, number three, by giving. Now, when the church began in Acts chapter 4, when the church began in Acts, it says that God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, in the church, in the early church, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or a house sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I was telling my kids about this verse this week, and I said, could you imagine? So they just had maybe some land or a house that they saw someone in need, and they sold it, and they went and took the money. That's impressive. I don't think we think along those lines anymore, do we? Selling something just to make sure that that person is well-fed, that that person's taken care of, that that person is warm tonight. So we're going to talk about giving. Now, maybe not the way that you're used to being taught about giving. We may not even talk about tithing or percentages or anything like that. We're going to talk about just this idea that giving is an indicator of your love for the church, for your love for God, because you love by giving. And then lastly, week five, number four in your outline, you love by sharing. You love by sharing the love that Jesus gave to us, the love that he put inside of us when we accepted him as our Savior, when we were baptized. That Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is not meant to be hoarded within the walls of the church. It's not meant to be kept for yourself and your family and your friends. It's meant to be taken out into the community. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5 to let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. The love that we have for one another is meant to be shown outside of this church. And we're going to talk about that on week 5. Because if we're not sharing the love of God in our words, in our actions, then we're not really truly loving. So I want you to come back. I want you to come back for week two next week as we really start to unpack these. I want you to come back. If you weren't here this morning for the classes, we have some room. Not a lot of room, but we'll make room if you want to come back for that. But we want to invite you to come back as we look over the next few weeks at several different ways that we can really love our church, that we can love the community that God intended, the community that God has set up, that we can be his disciples and we will be known as his disciples because of our love for each other. And we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. And if you're here with us today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you don't, as we were talking about earlier, you have that knowledge of God, but you don't have that relationship with God, man, we really want you to come back. We want you to be here. Because maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe you've been to a church and you thought, that's not a good church. What they're doing is not church. And I apologize for that. Maybe that was even here. But that's not the way God intended it. God intended us to love one another. Real quick, before we close out this morning, there's a couple things I want to challenge you with. Number one, in your seats, when you came in, or maybe close by, in a seat close by, and there's lots of them on the front row because nobody sits on the front row, there are these wristbands. We want you to put the wristband on. If you didn't get one, again, there's several in seats throughout the church. And if we have to order more, we'll order more. But these wristbands, as well as these t-shirts. Someone said, we absolutely have to buy a t-shirt? No, we're not making anything off the t-shirts. We just wanted to make them available to you if you wanted a t-shirt. But these are meant to be just conversation starters. What if someone asks you, what does that even mean, I love my church? Or what if they ask you, why do you love your church? Where is your church? Man, how great of a conversation starter could that be to invite them to church, to share the gospel with them, to create a conversation that maybe has never been created with them before. So we want to invite you to wear those. And if you want to order a shirt, we have a form in the back that just see me and we'll get you signed up. Also, we gave you guys four cards on your seat. And it just says, come see why I love my church, Ellisville Christian Church. Place on the back for you to write your name. And we want you to be creative with how you give these out. Obviously, you can go up to a friend or family member and say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. But we did some research. Seth found these, actually, and found some ways that you can be creative on giving these cards out, and you can create your own, too. How about this one? Maybe you can hand them out when you go through the drive-thru. You know, going through McDonald's, wait for 20 minutes for a Coke, and then you just hand them that card. We want to invite you to come to church with us this week. Maybe you have an office that you put a few out there on your front desk. Maybe along with a really good tip when you go out to eat this week, with a really good tip. Don't put like a 2% tip and then leave a card. With a really good tip, put a card out there for your server. We want to invite you to come to our church. Teens, maybe before lunch or at a class, or if you ride the bus, hand one to your bus driver for crying out loud. I don't know. Just get creative with how you're handing these out. But if everyone in this room handed out four cards and you were sincere in the way that you handed out and the way that you invited people, we're going to be sitting on laps next week because we're going to be out of room. We want people to know that we're his disciples. And we do that by loving each other. This is going to be an exciting 5 weeks to really discover what God's intention for the church was. Maybe it's nothing like what you've experienced in the past because church has been about conflict or it's been about doing something, being about going to church and sitting there and leaving. We're hoping to change your mind about that based on what God tells us in his scripture. So as the band comes up, we're going to just close out here that say that as one church, in one service, I pray that we begin to fully understand what God meant to do when he created the church, what God intended for this community of believers. And so this week and over the next few weeks, I just ask that you pray for the teachers of the small groups, that you pray for those bringing the messages, and then I pray for you, that you will be challenged by his word and by his plan for the church over the next few weeks. I'm going to pray for you. God, we just invite you here, God, into our hearts. God, if someone's here this morning and they don't know you, God, we just pray that you get in their way this week. God, maybe there's someone out there in the community that needs to know you, and I pray that maybe these invitation cards are a way to get in their way this week. God, we pray that as we continue through this series, we can really understand what it means to love the church, and that starts with loving everyone in this room. If there's conflict in this room, we pray that ceases, or that's mended. If there's hurt relationships, God, we pray that that's brought to light and dealt with and healed. Because, God, we are not a church unless we're loving each other, God. A new command that you gave to us to love each other as you loved us. And people will know that we're followers of the way because of our love for each other. And we pray that's true in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.